chance for Cedric Suarez to make his way forward. Bernardo Silva's got all the time in the world to pick out one of three in the middle, and Ronaldo scores just 2 minutes in. His first meaningful touch of the ball, and there's international goal number 76, inevitably marking his 100th competitive international with the goal, and that could be the first of many tonight.
Good evening and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network. I am your host, Joe Uccello, and tonight we are going to preview Mr. CR7 himself, Cristiano Ronaldo, in our World Cup player spotlight. Joining me, as always, Mr. Roberto Rojas, and tonight, Julia Yakovleva, journalist from Sport Express, and record to break down Mr. Cristiano Ronaldo. Thank you both for joining me. Julia, I want to start with you and ask you about your ties to Portuguese football and Cristiano Ronaldo in general.
Yes, hi. It's a pleasure to talk about one of the best players in the world. So, I started to watch football from World Cups, and in years 2004, my favorite national team was Portugal. And there was so-called golden generation, Luis Figo, Rui Costa, Nuno Gomes, Deco, and Jan Ronaldo too. And since then, I watched every football tournament, and of course, I watched Ronaldo. And first of all, I started to watch him in Manchester United, because I never seen him playing in Sporting. But I started watch him in Manchester United, and then Real Madrid, of course.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, he's really been a sensational superstar for both the teams, which, you know, I think for, at least on a modern football perspective, is really rare to see two players do a complete dominance of a team and of course it's a career. I mean, looking real quick into my segment, the biography and the achievements that he's made, I mean, it goes without saying. I mean, this guy is going to go down as one of the greatest players, not just in the world right now, but perhaps of all time. I mean, he's won five Ballon d'Ors. He's won four European shoes. He's won five Champions League, five league titles across both the Spanish giants, Real Madrid and Manchester United. You know, he scored over 650 career goals for club and country. Top goal scorer for Real Madrid and for Portugal with 81 goals. I mean, he certainly has earned his right as, you know, perhaps the greatest Portuguese player of all time and maybe one of the greatest of all time. Of course, a little man like Mr. Lionel Messi has a little argument about that. But certainly, with all the achievement that he's made, I think the big one, of course, for Portugal was winning that European championship. So, Joe, real quick, I mean, you know, you talk about Ronaldo. We've seen him for quite some time. I mean, we've seen him clearly at the top for more than a decade. You know, we've seen him dominate for Manchester United, you know, win a Ballon d'Or there, then move to Real Madrid when he was the most expensive player and really, I guess, changed his entire career as a whole. You know, if there's one moment or at least one, you know, goal or something where you thought to yourself, yeah, Cristiano Ronaldo is going to be that main star, he's going to be a superstar, you know, one of the greatest to play this game, what was it?
Oh, I don't necessarily have a specific moment because he's had so many over his career. You know, obviously the moment where he goes back to Real Madrid as the most expensive player in the world, kind of signifies what he is going to become, and that is going to be one of the greatest players in the world. And in that transfer, I think it's probably the biggest moment. On the pitch, there are so many moments, Rob. I every time I look, and I was looking at Cristiano Ronaldo highlights, it's goal after goal after goal, and even if he's out of position, his physical abilities allow him to make up for any poor run or you know, just being out of position to step. His physical abilities allow him to regain what he needs to go ahead and score that goal. He's an incredible finisher and, you know, one of the world's greatest, and we've seen it time and time again. So, Julia, you know, I would ask you if there was a moment that sticks out in your mind as to what would be his greatest moment, or a moment that would say, yes, that Cristiano Ronaldo has arrived.
I would say the first steps of Cristiano in Portugal, because when he was 16, he started to playing Sporting for under 16. Then he played under 17, under 18. Then he played for the team B and the first team within one season. That's now instead an achievement. And later that year, Manchester United bought him.
So you felt his greatness was even as a young 17 or 8-year-old, just being able to have the quality to move on and play for all of those teams at the same time. So
yeah, he was a great dribbler. And I read many times that Alex Ferguson and other coaches in England noticed that. First of all, great dribbler.
And we've seen that time and time again for sure. So let's take a look at moving forward now into what he's done most recently. And I know in this section we like to look at what he's done since the last World Cup. But for me, I don't feel like that's a good place to start for him, because his crowning international achievement is the winning the 2016 Euro with Portugal. And you know, it was just a fantastic performance by him. Although in the final he was out injured, he came out of the match injured, which you know, everyone remembers the tears on his face as he was coming off the pitch. But since that 2016 Euro, he's done even more. He's qualified first in Group B of UEFA qualifying, winning that last match on the last day against Switzerland to win the group. He was second in goals in European qualifying this time around, only second to Robert Lewandowski's 16. He scored 15 himself. Obviously returning the first trophy for Portugal ever in a major competition. Most goals ever in the Champions League. He's won 3 Champions League titles. He's won La Liga in 2017. There are a couple of things that he has not done since winning that Euro. He has not won a scoring title in Spain, which is quite shocking given the prolific goal scoring that he has. He hasn't won the Copa del Rey either. Barcelona's won all 3 of those since the Euros. So when we look back at his strengths and weaknesses, we know his strengths are in dribbling and finishing, of course. He should be considered an alien in that regard versus him. But when he compares, you know, when we look at that, does he need the World Cup to solidify his greatness, or, you know, or are we already there? Does he have anything left to prove here, Julia?
If Ronaldo wins this World Cup, he will be finally the best player in the football history, because Messi still doesn't win the World Cup. Right. So if Portugal wins, then Ronaldo will have all major trophies in the world.
Yeah, no, of course. And I think that same argument could be made for someone like Lionel Messi. You know, of course, this has always been a player that has been really, really good as well for the majority of his career, that, yeah, he has won every trophy except that World Cup. Even Messi, you know, a player that has made it to a Copa America final 3 times, failed to do it all 3 times, where Ronaldo made it to a European final and won it. Of course, he was injured, but he still has the medal and the regard of being one of those players to win it. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. But, you know, there are a few things that really a player like Cristiano Ronaldo is, of course, you know, he's been a prolific player for many, many years. I mean, you notice that in the way that he plays, you know, holding onto the ball, finishing. You know, he's obviously a prolific goal scorer nevertheless. But, of course, there are a few flaws to him, if there are any. But, you know, you kind of look at how the team really is compared. Of course, Portugal has always been a team, perhaps as a stereotype or not, you know, people are out there who really aren't seeing Portugal that big are saying that, yeah, this is just Ronaldo plus 10, which is completely untrue, because you look at the great players that they have, like Andre Silva, like Bernardo Silva, Joe Mario, Joe Moutinho, Gelson Martins, Gonzalo Guedes. You know, they have so many great players on that team, especially up front, that, you know, it kind of provides, I guess, the support for Ronaldo to demonstrate his greatness, at least on the Portuguese side. Joe, real quick, I mean, you know, you look at how a manager like Fernando Santos is really going to get the best out of this player, you know, and rightly so, because you want to have him be as your captain and to really become the main focal point of this team. So my question to you is, you know, how do you think Cristiano Ronaldo gets integrated with the coaching style and formation that, you know, Fernando Santos is trying to put?
Well, I think this is one, you know, I we always inevitably make the comparisons to Lionel Messi. We're talking about two of the greatest players of all times. And this is where I think he has gotten it right in terms of how players play with Cristiano Ronaldo to maximize his abilities, his skills, and how Cristiano Ronaldo can help the team, where in Argentina they haven't really figured that part out with Messi yet. And we saw it in the Euros very, very much, because the team, like you said, Rob, is talented. I was looking up and doing my research at Cristiano Ronaldo. I was looking up the greatest players of all time in Portugal, and we're going to get to that information in a minute. But I think it was like number 5 or number 6 on the list. This list had listed Ricardo Quaresma. This is his teammate, and we're talking about some great players that have come through the years. Fernando Santos has figured out how to mesh Cristiano Ronaldo with the team, and the team has figured out how to play with Cristiano Ronaldo so that Cristiano Ronaldo maximizes the team's ability and the team maximizes Cristiano's ability. So, Julia, I do want to run that question by you as well, because I think it's an interesting one, because we like we said, we always make the inevitable comparisons to Lionel Messi, but really the Portuguese national team has gotten it right in terms of integrating Cristiano Ronaldo, don't you think?
Yeah, I think he plays perfectly well in Portuguese team, and in formation 4-4-2, where he and André Silva, they play together up front, yeah. And Ronaldo has that freedom to move in the area, go to the flanks, do whatever he wants, and he scores, he creates chances. So it's very important for Portugal to have big striker, one nine, as André Silva, and another one is Cristiano Ronaldo, who can do everything in the attack, and they together they play perfect.
I agree, and like you said, especially in the formation that they play, it allows Cristiano to be free and to create on his own. And we've seen Cristiano Ronaldo be dangerous running at you up the middle of the pitch. We've seen him be dangerous running at the flanks. We've seen him be dangerous when the ball is on the opposite side of the pitch and he gets loose behind the defenders on the far side. So it allows him to be himself and to do what he does best, which causes a great deal of trouble for all the other defenders in the world, really. I want to move on to the comparing him to the great players in Portugal. And sometimes we think about Portugal and we only think about Cristiano Ronaldo, but Portugal has really had a wonderful history of great players. And a couple that really stood out to me are I would call them old and new. In the old, we would talk about Eusebio, the great player. He was fantastic. He scored 317 goals in 301 appearances for Benfica. He actually won a Champions League. Back then it was the European Club. But Eusebio led Portugal to their best finish ever in a World Cup. And that was in 1966, where he won the Golden Boot, the goal-scoring title, in a third-place finish, losing to eventual champion England. The other player that I like to look at is Luis Figo. Luis Figo won the Champions League in 2002, and what he's done that Cristiano Ronaldo has not is he's won La Liga at both Real Madrid and Barcelona, which is interesting. You know, in the United States, we would make the comparison of winning the title with the Yankees and the Red Sox. You know, it's one of those things where these two teams are incredible rivals, and at the same time, Luis Figo was able to win championships with both teams. And when we look back at them, Julia, I would say that even though those two players are absolutely great and some of the all-time greats to ever play this game, Cristiano Ronaldo is really number one on that pitch, isn't he?
I think yes, but I want to tell you about another one great player. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone know about him. It's Fernando Perroteo. He played in late 30s and 40s, and he was a legend in Sporting, in club where Cristiano Ronaldo started his career. Yeah, and he was a legend in Sporting, and he played for national team too. But he played just 20 games and scored 15 goals. But he's a legend in Portugal, like Eusebio and Luis Figo. And from that four, I think Ronaldo is the best.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you really have to think about everything that Ronaldo has won comparable to him, to those players. You know, he's won the European Championship. He's won the Champions League. You know, he's won various titles in probably one of the strongest leagues, maybe the strongest league in the world, or both of them in the world with England and Spain. So, yeah, you kind of have to make that point. But, you know, there is a few things that perhaps head into Ronaldo heading into this World Cup is, of course, you know, you kind of mentioned how Ronaldo has always been, you know, it's going to be tough to see what happens in such a big competition like this because, you know, yes, he is a fantastic player. You know, 81 goals and 149 caps for his country is something good. But you kind of have to also look at, you know, his world, his international record. He scored a goal in the World Cup, I think, once in 2006, 2010, and 2014. That's just three goals. Albeit the last one, he was about a 50% fit. So, yeah, it kind of makes sense. But, of course, you kind of have to question a little bit about his international record. Of course, it is a smaller competition comparable to what you're dealing in a 38-game season with La Liga or Champions League as well. But, you know, Julia, real quick, I mean, heading into this World Cup, it's going to be his fourth World Cup. You know, obviously, he's done everything. He's always been that kind of system player and really a dominating player for this team moving forward. But, you know, do you feel that there is that sort of danger heading into this World Cup that, you know, perhaps the goals are going to dry out, especially in a tough group with Spain, Morocco, and Iran? Do you feel that, you know, after such a grueling and intense season for Real Madrid and really fighting all competitions on all cylinders, do you feel that there's that danger that the goals might not dry up, that might dry up heading into this World Cup?
Yeah, he wasn't very fortunate in World Cups, but I think this time he will score at least three or four goals. It's essential for him, and it's the last World Cup for Ronaldo. And we all know that he plays better and better every year. So I hope this World Cup with this team and this coach, they are perfect. They create perfect atmosphere for Ronaldo to score goals.
Yeah, and absolutely. And Joe, I mean, yeah, going back, I mean, you really need to get out the best out of Cristiano Ronaldo. And I'm talking about the Ronaldo that you get at Real Madrid week in, week out. You really need to get the best for really a team that has essentially helped him for so many years. You know, this is where Ronaldo has to take control of these games and really pull out a good performance if they really want to challenge very far into this World Cup.
He does, but I think he's up to the challenge. You know, Cristiano Ronaldo, we know, we haven't talked about Cristiano Ronaldo, the personality yet. And his personality is he wants the spotlight. He bathes in it. He needs it. He thrives on it. And when the spotlight is on him, he is at his best. And I think the biggest stage in the world, you know, the World Cup, and really that first match that he's going to face against Spain, is really something that he will absolutely bathe in. And you could see him exploding for 2-3 goals, you know, even in that particular match, but definitely in the group stages overall. It would not shock me that if we go into the knockout stages that Cristiano Ronaldo is leading all scorers in this World Cup. So, and I do want to, and I it, that's, it's a great segue to lead me into my last question, Julia, because my focus now is on what does he need to do in order to win a World Cup for Portugal, especially given everything that he's done, the Champions League titles, the European title, the goal scoring, everything that Cristiano does. What does he need to do on this stage in Russia to bring home the trophy for Portugal?
Well, at least to break Eusebio's records on World Cup. Finals, no? he should score 10 goals at least. but he's a great professional and he's the leader and he's a motivator. And I think if he will play and act like in Euros 2016 in the final and in another matches, they will make it. I want to remember the story that happened with Portugal in Euros 2016, when Portugal played with Poland and there was a penalty shootout, and then Moutinho he didn't want to go to the spot kick, and Ronaldo said to him, "Hey, come on, you are good at it. If we don't score, then okay, take the penalty." So and Moutinho went and he scored. And if Ronaldo will manage to make the team perform great and will be the leader once again and will score goals, so I think why not? Portugal can win this trophy.
Of course, that's going to be something to talk about into my last segment. Currently, Portugal are 8th favorites, 25-1, according to the bookies, to win this World Cup, slightly behind England, Belgium, Argentina, France, Spain, Brazil, and Germany as well. You know, Joe, I mean, you know, this has been, and we mentioned this already in the start of the program. We mentioned this is a player who has been able to dominate two of the toughest leagues, maybe the two toughest leagues currently in the world. In England and Spain, you know, he's won Champions League there. He's won Ballon d'Ors there. He has scoring titles there. He's literally done everything that, you know, of course, there's always going to be that debate with him and Messi as who's going to be the better player out of those two, and maybe out of those two in general, who would be the greatest of all time. But certainly, when you look at the advantage that Ronaldo has is, of course, winning a continental title, which is the Euros, something that Messi has had 3 times to do it and failed to do it at all 3 times. I mean, you kind of have to think to yourself, okay, yeah, this guy can really do something and be considered as one of the greatest players of all time. But my last question to you is, of course, you know, what does winning a World Cup, because we know what it would mean to the people of Portugal to win this World Cup. It would be something tremendous for such a country that's so passionate for football. Mm-hmm. But what does a World Cup mean for, you know, for Cristiano Ronaldo? What would it mean for his legacy to go into Portuguese history? And you know, I think the real question would be is if he wins this 2018 World Cup, given that he has a great performance with goals, assists, and literally everything that he can manage, which, you know, is certainly not out of question, would he be considered the greatest player of all time?
I'll take your second part first. Would he be considered the greatest player of all time? I'd have to definitively say yes. He will have won, at that point, he will have won absolutely every trophy you can win on the planet. From the Ballon d'Ors, you know, all the individual awards and those things, to the team trophies, to the World Cup, to the Euros, you know, anything that has a competition that has a trophy at the end of it, he's lifted that trophy. This would be the last of those trophies. And I think at that point, you really have to look at him and say, yes, this would be the crowning achievement of a career. And personally, if I were Cristiano Ronaldo and I raised that trophy at the end of it, I might actually retire from football because there's nothing left for me to do. As far as his legacy and making him the greatest player in Portuguese history, I think that is done. You know, I feel like he wouldn't need to do anything more there. I think that is his at this point in time. And to really, you know, have to add this, I don't think he has to add it. I think it'd be nice in those regards, but he definitely doesn't need to add it because he's returned that Euro. He's returned that international trophy, that major trophy. He's done that for Portugal already, and he doesn't need it to solidify his legacy as the greatest Portuguese player of all time, Rob.
No, absolutely. And Julia, you know, Joe mentioned it right there at the last part. You know, of course, there is the big cause. And of course, I think it's more likely, given the odds that Portugal have heading into this World Cup, that he does not win this World Cup. To you, of course, do you feel that his legacy still remains the same, especially from a Portuguese perspective and from a career's perspective, if he does not win this World Cup? I mean, what are your thoughts about Cristiano Ronaldo if, unfortunately, he does not lift this trophy for Portugal? Would he still be regarded as, you know, maybe the greatest player of all time, you know, despite not winning this World Cup?
For Portuguese people, of course, he will be the greatest. For the world, it always be between Messi and Ronaldo if he doesn't win this World Cup. But for Portugal people, he's the main pride for the country. So I think for Ronaldo, it will be maybe a tragedy, yeah? But for Portuguese people, I think they see him as a legend right now without this trophy.
I agree. And I also, you know, I wanted to go back to a point that you made, Julia, about Cristiano Ronaldo, the captain, Cristiano Ronaldo, the leader, which we really didn't touch upon much in this particular segment. We've talked about him as Cristiano Ronaldo, the player, as the superstar, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo, the goal scorer. But Cristiano Ronaldo, the leader, I think is a wonderful concept because it is those qualities where you see Cristiano Ronaldo playing with his teammates that I think offers so much more and is one of the reasons we see Portugal being such a great team and such a difficult team to manage for all the other teams in the world. It's not so much Cristiano Ronaldo the player as it is Cristiano Ronaldo the leader that I think really makes it difficult for other teams to manage, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. And Fernando Santos was one of few managers that could handle with him as a leader on the pitch. And I think the managers like Sir Alex Ferguson and Fernando Santos are the best for Cristiano, and they understand him, they understand his role on the pitch, and they give him freedom to be the leader, to be the captain, and to be even the coach on the pitch, and help his partners to play better.
Exactly. I agree 100%. So, Julia and Rob, I'd like to thank both of you for joining me tonight and helping me break down Cristiano Ronaldo as he makes his journey over to Russia for the 2018 World Cup. So for our World Cup player spotlight on This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network, I'm your host, Joe Uccello. Thanks for listening and good night.